If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Well, take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 8:38. Paul J. and Chris on a Wednesday.
This was bound to happen. I think that a lawsuit seeking to represent the victims of the Las Vegas shooting here a week before last. A lawsuit was filed against the makers of the bump stocks, which the shooter apparently used to achieve a near automatic rate of fire.
This could be the way, Chris, that you get rid of these things. If you find them heinous and you find them in your mind to be illegal,
well, this
could be the way
this has been interesting to watch for a few days anyway, mm-hmm. because there have been some members of Congress that have recommended getting rid of the bump stocks, and the NRA, for the most part, has made statements that sound like, well, you guys decide what you want to do, but the NRA doesn't seem to be too concerned that there might not be bump stocks anymore. In other words, turning something into,
something that's not intended,
almost
to be
the equivalent of an automatic weapon. They're kind of okay if you want to get rid of that. Like, you know, don't go after the sporting guns. Don't go after the guns that are for home protection, anything like that. But the ones that are simply for
killing,
well, just shooting as many bullets as possible in a small amount of time. And they might even still let them exist at gun clubs and places where they have ranges and targets, but the NRA just doesn't seem to be too interested in fighting that battle. In other words, like, well, okay, not this time, but you never know, because there's always something, you know, what they call the slippery slope, which is, okay, you start with this, but let's go ahead and throw in a few of these other things too.
Yeah,
and the NRA is always saying that they're wary of that. But anyway, the lawsuit seeks to represent the victims of the Las Vegas shooting. It's a class action lawsuit, as you might expect, and it was filed in state court in Clark County, Nevada, over the weekend, which is Las Vegas, and announced yesterday. It accuses a company called Slidefire Solutions and a few other as yet unnamed manufacturers of negligence, leading to the infliction of emotional distress on thousands of people who witnessed or were injured in the October 1st shooting at the Las Vegas Music Festival. So it's not just for the families of the people who were killed. It's not just for those who were also shot, but it's apparently for everybody that was there.
Mm-hmm.
The lawsuit by three Nevada residents who attended the festival does not involve the injuries, again, that hundreds of people suffered as a result of the shooting, or the families of the 58 people who were killed. That may be completely different. Moran, Texas-based Slidefire did not immediately respond to a request for comment. I would assume that they would probably have a lawyer, or if not, they're getting one. And the first comment will probably be, you know, all we did was manufacture these because they're not illegal, and I don't think we're responsible for how they were used.
Well,
because I think that's what I would say.
Yeah, those are the kinds of arguments
we're
going to see.
We put together a tool. Yes, it could be a dangerous tool, but this person used it in a way that we didn't intend, which was to shoot at actual human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Authorities said shooter Stephen Paddock's ability to fire hundreds of rounds per minute over a 10-minute period from his perch in a 32nd floor hotel suite was a major factor in the high casualty count. Paddock, they still maintain, killed himself before police stormed his suite. Bump stocks allow semi-automatic rifles to operate as if they are mimicking fully automatic machine guns, which are heavily restricted in the United States. and, you know, have been for a long time. Timothy Litton, a law professor at Georgia State University and author of a book on gun litigation, said the lawsuit faced very long odds due to a law passed by Congress back in 2005 that shields manufacturers of firearms or component parts or ammunition from liability if their products are used to commit a crime. And again, it would be like if you were suing a hammer company because somebody hit you over the head with a hammer. Although, yes, I mean, nobody has to call me up and say, yeah, guns are more often used to kill people than hammers are. I know that. But guns are intended to be tools for a purpose, and the purpose is not intended to be committing mass murder. Or I should say murder.
Right. So, true, it'll be interesting to see how this comes out, but like I say, hit them in the pocketbook.
Yeah, and of course, if the suit goes through, and if they argue it, of course, a lot of the argument will be, well, what did you think these would be used mm-hmm. for? To which they will definitely have to say target shooting, or target obliterating, as it were.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff.
But again, and people have said that we've heard that for at least the last week and a half, and we knew that beforehand. People have said the reason that there are still machine guns and automatic weapons that still exist is for people who aren't, they just have fun shooting guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's true. All right, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has sent a letter to all NFL teams calling on players to honor our flag and stand for the national anthem. We'll have President's reaction, Donald Trump's reaction. And
you're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
Whenever I hear the name Corker, I always think of my grandmother, because you know the little
was
kids.
She a Corker?
Well, you know little kids that are like toddlers and stuff like that. You know the kind that hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
She always referred to them as Corkers. Like, oh, he's a Corker, you know. And I always remember that because I wonder if Bob Corker, when he was a kid, was a Corker. I mean, he clearly was, but you know the kind that she was talking about.
Not sure.
Right.
Don't know.
And now back to Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner, sent a letter to all the teams calling on players to honor the flag and stand for the national anthem. I wrote a new national anthem, but nobody would stand for it. It's about time that Goodell of the NFL is finally demanding that all players stand for our great national anthem and respect our country, tweeted President Trump this morning.
Yeah, he's been fairly consistent in what he has to say about that.
The president's comments come a day after Goodell sent a memo to NFL executives and club presidents aiming to move past the week-long feud between the White House and NFL players who have kneeled.
Yeah.
Both?
I don't know. See, I'm not sure. I mean, I've heard kneeled on television for the last several months, and I always thought it was knelt, but there could be a, I mean, you know, bended or bent. I don't know.
Or otherwise protested during the national anthem. So no matter what they did. We live in a country that can feel very divided. Sports, and especially the NFL, bring people together and lets them set aside.
Yeah, like Cowboy and Redskin fans.
All those divisions.
I've been together with Cowboy fans.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we weren't that together.
Yeah, at least for a few hours.
Yeah. Well, we were in the...
Keep you away from my wife.
We were shivering in the same cold.
The current dispute over the national anthem...
Your wife and I wouldn't get into an argument anyway.
No, probably not. It's threatening to erode the unifying power of our game and is now dividing us and our players from many fans across the country. And, you know, you're being a little facetious, but your point is well made that if the Bears are playing the Redskins, you and I aren't going to be rooting for the same team.
This is true.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we will probably not draw weapons on one another.
Also true.
And there are some people who, when you don't stand for the national anthem, might.
Yeah, that's true. Like many of our fans, we believe everyone should stand for the national anthem. It's an important moment in our game. We want to honor our flag and our country, and our fans expect that of us. True. He noted that the NFL cares deeply about players and respects their opinions and concerns about critical social issues.
Now, I found out something a few days ago that I didn't actually know. I knew that at some point somebody, in a court someplace had ruled that kids in school can't be forced against their will. Let's say if they have some sort of objection, maybe a religious objection against standing and saluting the flag,
sure.
that they can't be forced to recite the Pledge of Allegiance and stand and salute the flag.
Uh-huh.
However, I didn't know that court ruling came down in 1943.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't either.
So you could have claimed, well, probably not in Catholic school. But you could have claimed at some point that you had religious objections to it.
The first thing I remember was the under God thing.
The nuns wouldn't have been fooled by that.
Yeah.
And that came in about, 1954, right? Mm-hmm. The under God?
Yep. The controversy over the anthem is a barrier to having honest conversations and making real progress in underlying issues, Goodell wrote.
Mm-hmm.
We need to move past this controversy, and we want to do that together with our players. Goodell and NFL team owners will meet in New York next week for their annual fall meeting, where the protests apparently will be discussed.
Yeah.
Vice President Pence got involved last weekend when he left.
And this is a statement basically by the NFL and the owners, and Jerry Jones essentially already made this particular statement, which is essentially, go ahead and exercise your right to protest if you want to. However, just be advised that if you do, we are going to fire you.
Yeah, that
or fine you a great deal of money.
That might drive the point home.
Or fine you a great deal of money.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say you couldn't do it. I just said you'd be in trouble if you did.
Feel free. It's America. 8:56. We'll be back with more Idaho Talks Live.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
It's 9:06. Inadvertently talking football this morning.
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. Peter King, who writes for Sports Illustrated and is on television quite a lot, fairly mm-hmm. famous individual, has said, here's some things that you need to know this morning about where the issue of players standing for the national anthem lies and what the league might do to force players to do so. He says, number one, the league currently has no proposal prepared to vote on next week at the NFL owners' meeting in New York that would mandate players to stand at attention for the national anthem.
That would seem to be relatively important.
But he says this could be semantics, but he was told yesterday that the NFL is focused on trying to build a bridge to the players so that leaders such as Malcolm Jenkins and Doug Baldwin, people like that, in the Players Union and the NFL Players Association could feel good about partnering with the league on some community initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, number two, Roger Goodell did lay down the gauntlet on Tuesday, however, as we you just talked about that. Mm-hmm. While Goodell was in Miami participating in a ride-along with three Dolphins players and the North Miami Police Department, I know that sounded funny for a second, and the Broward County Sheriff's Department, ESPN's Adam Schefter broke the story of Goodell's memo to NFL ownership. It said, in part, like many of our fans, we believe that everyone should stand for the national anthem. We want to honor our flag and our country, and our fans expect that of us. Goodell said of the league, he said the league wanted to move past the controversy together with our players. The tenor of the memo was clear. Although the league might feel the anthem controversy has been hijacked by the president and vice president, we're not going to make progress on the issues the players care about by continuing to protest during the anthem. We've got to stand for the anthem or risk alienating a huge swath of our fans, or as I might put it, again. Now the question will be, will the players buy that? He says, number three, there is no question that the players can't simply take some money deal from the owners to do social justice work in exchange for agreeing to all stand for the anthem, because they'd risk being labeled as sellouts to the protest cause.
True.
This will be the tricky part, navigating the end game. The NFL has to find some way for the players to win, which I know individually each team is doing.
Yep.
Sort of. Mm. Number four, the end game. My gut feeling is the league will start by offering to devote a week or weeks, the way the NFL does with cancer causes, like Crucial Catch.
Yeah, they have
the military.
Likened that to the... Well, to this month,
yeah,
or the which is now all cancer month.
Exactly. Or the military salute to service to fund and partner with players to highlight and sponsor work on civil rights causes in NFL communities. That could be promoting better police-community relations or working on reduced sentencing and work-release employment programs. It is thought that the players have been pressing the league to spend multiple weeks on social work and civil rights projects this season, and the success or failure of this partnership will probably be decided by whether the players feel the league is digging deep enough to make real change in communities. And he says, I have spoken
multiple
to a couple of
weeks during the season.
Well,
sounds like
as you say, much as they do with cancer.
Right.
I have spoken. He goes on. I have spoken to a couple of players in recent weeks since this controversy started, who are skeptical of the NFL's efforts. One said the NFL's history of dehumanizing players and forcing them to do what owners want, the way Dallas owner Jerry Jones spoke about not allowing any protesting player to play for his team, reinforces the impression among players that if they don't get in line, the league will try to steamroll them. That clearly is an impression the NFL will have to fight, that they're just playing nice now to get the players to do what they want. Another player, and it was Doug Baldwin, sounded introspective on Tuesday after the Goodell memo leaked. He wanted some time to consider his thoughts, then said he felt that the NFL and its players shouldn't continue the fight that President Donald Trump started almost 3 weeks ago. As an NFL community, Baldwin said, I believe it's important that we do not directly engage in the divisive rhetoric that is clearly being aimed at the NFL. It's also important that we understand that the original intent and motivation of the players' peaceful protest was to bring awareness to social issues that we see in our country. Although I know the divisive rhetoric is accomplishing its goal in our society, I do believe this is a unique opportunity for the NFL to galvanize our efforts collectively while rehumanizing the players and engaging in the true issues. I hope we can be a model for our society.
All good.
Baldwin, as I said, is one of the players the NFL wants to be part of the bridge building, and he seems amenable to try to be a part of the solution. I'm a man of faith, he said from his home in Seattle. I've always tried to lend myself to an optimistic view. I believe we can find a way to make a lot of lives better. This has never been about disrespecting the flag. This has always been about trying to better society. And we hope we can work with the NFL to help do that. I think it's up to us to speak up for those who don't have voices to speak. Working to help those who need help, working to try to make society better, is both patriotic and honorable.
One thing that has not ever been mentioned or addressed or whatever is what happens to players if they still don't stand for the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
We have not heard.
Well, and then that's something that the NFL owners will address, I'm sure, next week.
Well, so are they going to go, no excuses, you sit, you don't play? Are they going to do that?
That's their, you know, that's entirely up to them, I think. So, because they
are going to play hardball?
They are the owners of the team. And while the Players Association does have, you know, certain grievances and certain rights and, you know, things like that, as any union would,
mm-hmm.
Also, the owners have a certain amount of control as well, since they do own the teams. Now, recently, he goes on, he says, recently I asked Baldwin about his passion for this issue, about not just being an athlete who only plays and ignores the evening news. He sounded surprised at the question. He says, how can you not have a vested interest in the future of our society, Baldwin said. I understand we all have our issues. We have issues in our locker room. We have issues in our society. But even though we have issues on our team, we come every week unified. We're a team. We work toward a collective goal. We put aside our egos for the greater good. That's what I want us to do in our communities now. In the next week, Goodell's challenge will be to make players believe the league and the owners share Baldwin's attitude, or at least will contribute significantly to their causes. And he says it's probably not going to be easy.
Now, we really don't have a...
And you know the attitude of a lot of
people. We don't have anything to follow. We don't have anything that's in operation now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it football's responsibility? I'm having trouble framing my question. Is it football's responsibility to cure social ills?
Probably not.
But is it a good thing?
Let's put it this way. Not any more than it is everyone else's.
Yeah, but is it a good thing for football to try to cure society's ills?
We have heard from about a billion people over the last few weeks that say no. That they consider this to be, as far as they're concerned, at least, they consider to be watching football a leisure activity that they should be allowed to enjoy without having to think about anything else. And obviously some of the players don't feel that way.
Is there danger in killing the golden goose?
Sure. There always is. If you and I started saying, okay, the worst thing you can possibly do is listen to the radio, go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually somebody would say, you know, that's kind of a dumb thing for you guys to be saying, considering you work on the radio. And we would say, oh, yeah, good point. However, you know,
it's out there.
We already kind of know that.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that. I mean, there are other things that you could be doing. However, radio, for the most part, the kind we do is absolutely free. And when you're traveling in your car, a lot of times it's better than just sitting there and staring. Although you should pay attention to the road as well.
What do you see coming out of this?
I don't know. There have been protests in sports forever.
Yep.
And they have made gradual changes. Sometimes they have, sometimes they haven't. Muhammad Ali protested war and was the heavyweight champion of the world, and that was stripped from him, and he was unable to even box professionally for 3 years, and then finally was able to again. That happened in the 60s. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was one of the ones back when he was Lew Alcindor. He started protesting that sort of thing. Jim Brown used to do it. Bill Russell, back when the Celtics were champions.
What about the Olympics?
The Olympics, yeah. John Carlos and Tommy Smith, right? Mm-hmm. When they were on the stand in Mexico City, they didn't even get to they didn't even get a free ride back.
They sent them home.
Yeah, they were both from San Jose State University. A lot of people don't realize that, but they didn't even get a free ride back home. They had to get their own plane ticket to go back to the United States.
Yep.
Because there were people that didn't like the fact that they gave what was called the Black Power Salute. There have been all sorts of protests. The Arabs were protesting Israel in 1972 when there was a terrorist attack on the Olympics in Munich, and they ended up killing a whole bunch of the Israeli weightlifters and wrestling team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I if there's going to be a protest of any kind, I would prefer the peaceful kind.
Yeah.
But a protest is a protest, and there are some people that just never see the point of a protest anyway, because, and to be fair, for most of those people, things are just fine. It's 9:17. We'll be right back.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:22.
Our word today is stand.
KBOI rewards code.
Yes, KBOI rewards code. As in lemonade stand, or stand for the national anthem, or I won't stand for you not standing for the national anthem.
Or let's take a stand.
Or let's take a stand and not stand.
I can't stand you because you don't stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of those things, it applies.
Congratulations to Kimo von Olhoffen. He has been named to the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame.
Hey, terrific.
Class of 2017.
Former Boise State defensive lineman. And
one of the
played,
early...
Played in the NFL for one of the longer careers.
Years,
yeah, one of the longer careers of any Boise State player.
Mm-hmm.
He played for the Steelers and I think the Bengals, and did he play for the Jets for a short time as well?
Yeah.
Or am I adding an extra one?
Might be adding an extra one.
Okay, the Steelers, and he played for the Steelers.
Yeah.
And I think the Bengals. Definitely the Steelers.
Yeah, he did play for the Bengals.
Right.
Yeah. And the Steelers.
There we go.
And the Bengals.
Yeah. And he is Polynesian.
Yep.
He's also apparently part German because his last name
Good
is...
Good guy. I remember the game
von
he
Olhoffen.
Had. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the game he had against the University of Idaho, which really got him drafted, basically. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of big tackles down on the goal line, and the next thing you know, he's in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
Show people what you can do, and sometimes they'll let you do it.
Kimo von Olhoffen. A cool name.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. He joined along with Baba Pisa, who is from Ohio State, I think. We heard him earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to be honest with you. I really didn't. I wasn't even aware there was. And I'm sure that there are plenty of people in it, but I wasn't aware there actually even was a Polynesian sports Hall of Fame or football Hall of Fame. But you know, you think about guys like what was it Manu Tuiasosopo?
Mm-hmm.
And
he also
yeah.
is going in, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And Mosi Tatupu.
Mm-hmm.
Who played a long time ago.
Kimo von Olhoffen drafted...
Timmy Jang might be in there at some point.
Drafted in the sixth round of the 94 draft. Played for the Bengals from 94 to 99. The Steelers from 2000 to 2005.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets, 2006.
Ah, I was right about that.
Philadelphia, 2007.
Okay. I'd even forgotten.
Super Bowl champion of Super Bowl extra large.
So 40.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where'd it go?
We're going to the news. We'll be back 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
Oh, man. 9:36. You got a lot of sports fans, and the radio stations are notorious. For having
sports fans as well as other things for which they are notorious.
And your whole world.
Yeah.
Your whole entire being boils down to a guy named Tanner.
Tanner Roark. Now, I will say this. I certainly hope he's pitching for the Nationals tonight. We're talking about the baseball.
Well,
okay, the two of us at this particular second.
Yeah,
we've been talking about other things, but at this particular second, we're talking about the baseball playoffs. And his favorite team, the Chicago Cubs. My favorite, the Washington Nationals, are playing tonight. Cubs are up 2-1 in a 5-game series. If the Cubs win, the Nats go home and dream about what could have been, or spend their money, or whatever it is they do, and the Cubs move on like they did last year.
But they didn't play the Nats last year.
That's true. If the Nats win tonight, then there's another game. Then game four should have been yesterday, but it was rained out in Chicago, and so they're playing today. And I think am I wrong? No, I think the final game would end up being in Washington, wouldn't it? Because they do 2-2-1 in this series. Yeah, they used to go 2-3, but now they do 2-2-1. That's when they decided at some point that the team with home field advantage shouldn't have to win games 3, 4, and 5 at home. They should get to play at least, you know.
Now,
for the first couple at home, too.
Is that right, or does the All-Star game have something to do with it?
It doesn't anymore.
Not anymore. They took it away.
Yeah, they stopped doing that. It's all based entirely on record now. And it doesn't even, like for years, you started the World Series in the American League one year, and the next year you started the World Series in the National League Park. Now it's based on their records, too, since they have interleague play. And nobody liked that All-Star Game thing, even though the whole point of it was to make...
Because the American League won every year.
Well, the whole point of it was to try to make them care about who won the All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm. It didn't work.
And no, it didn't really work.
Didn't work. All right.
Still, guys want to get in there and play for a second and then go home. You know, because in the middle of a 162-game season, a few days off are nice. Now, where were we? We worked... Okay, tonight's game... You've got Jake Arrieta, who started out slow this year but ended up brilliant the whole
pitched
rest of the season.
Pitched a couple of no-hitters, won a Cy Young Award.
Yeah, he's a good pitcher.
But he's injured.
And the Nationals have Tanner Roark, who is not bad. However, he's probably their fourth-best starter.
Mm-hmm.
And Steven Strasburg apparently had the flu or something yesterday, so they don't want to start him, even though... Dusty Baker named Tanner Roark to start yesterday, and he's going to let him still start today, even though, you know, Strasburg has had an extra day of rest.
Apparently.
But we have...
The entire national team...
Yeah, the Nationals.
Suffering from mold.
Yeah, something of that nature.
Yeah.
And... So Strasburg was a number one pick years ago out of San Diego State.
He was the be-all and end-all.
And he's been injured a lot over the last several years, but he always pitches well when he's in there.
What's he, 15-2?
Yeah, something like that. He had a good 16 season, like 15-4, whatever it was, something of that nature.
Terrific.
And of course, we have Max Scherzer, who has also been injured a few times this season, but he's a former Cy Young winner. And he's actually one of your favorite players to watch.
I love him.
Yeah, and he's the guy that has one blue and one
just
brown.
Just because I don't root for the Nats, I do root for Scherzer.
Yeah, and he is
so cool.
And he's a lot of fun, and he enjoys what he does, and he can throw a ball through a wall, too.
Yep.
And then the third pitcher is Gio Gonzalez, who's been very consistent and very good, used to pitch for the Oakland A's. And then has been on Washington for several years, and I think he's won 17 or 18. No, he was a 20-game winner one year. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Tanner Roark, who... now I'm going to say this. These are not the sort of things I like to talk about, but one of the things that he leads baseball in is he has a very, very large rear end. And he also tends
to... They actually said that on the air the other day.
Well, he also tends not to have very good balance. And if you watch him, and this will be interesting if you don't care about it. Maybe you can tune in tonight. But when he throws a pitch, about half the time he looks like he's about to fall down. Because his balance is just off. Now, it's just part of being Tanner Roark, I think. But, you know, some of the other guys, when they throw a pitch, immediately they become a fielder. Like, Greg Maddux was great at that.
Yep.
He let go of the ball, and immediately he was the shortstop, the second baseman, whatever. He was just as good a fielder as anybody, and that's why he won so many gold gloves. Roark has to spend an extra couple of seconds trying to right himself.
Stagger.
Yeah, he does tend to stagger a bit once he throws the ball. Being someone without perfect balance myself for most of my life, which is to say all, I can kind of feel for that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I still sort of wish Strasburg were pitching tonight. However, you never know what's going to happen. With Don Larson. Don Larson was not the Yankees' best pitcher, but he threw a perfect game in the World Series in 1956.
Yeah. I was listening to the Nationals broadcast on satellite radio.
Yeah.
Yesterday, and the national color guys, whoever they were, studio guys, were distraught that Strasburg wasn't pitching.
Yeah, yeah.
And they brought in a columnist from some newspaper in Baltimore.
So somebody mentioned his rear end, didn't they?
Yeah, he did. That's where I heard it.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that he mentioned that Dusty Baker makes the weirdest
pitching
decisions.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
and I've been telling,
like the one earlier this week.
Well, yeah, and I've been telling you about that for what, all season, haven't I?
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, he managed the Cubs, so I'm used to it.
Well, that's a good point. But I mean, in retrospect, it's always easy to tell, you know, what should have happened.
Yeah,
and then, you know, that's why most of us are staying at home instead of actually coaching and managing stuff like that. But because we don't have to make the decision. We can just make the, we can look back or make the suggestion or whatever.
All right, we're going to come back.
But I would like to say, though, it just seems like this whole season, what Dusty Baker should have done was no matter who starts the game, leave him in for eight innings and then put in a closer. Because the middle relievers were just awful.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim.
Good plan. Hi, Jim.
Hello there.
Yes.
Hi there.
Anyway, I just wanted to ask you guys, did you by any chance watch the Washington State-Oregon game Saturday?
Yes.
I mean, that was great. Okay, now I went to Texas A&M, Texas Tech, but my team this year is Washington State because of Coach Mike Leach, who, you know, he's, you know, unconventional, right?
Oh, yeah, very.
And so right before the game started, they showed him shaking hands with referees, eating a banana. And then the commentator made the comment, the pirate and the banana. Well, then they showed the Oregon team, and they all looked like a bunch of bananas.
I mean, that's true.
They did.
Yeah. My dad talked about that on the phone with me. He said they were wearing those bright yellow uniforms, which he mentioned are not his favorite.
Yeah, they were, personally, I kind of liked them.
Okay.
But they were head to foot yellow with green trim. And I thought that was great. And then his team ate Oregon 30-10. And so, I thought I just wanted to make that comment. I thought that was great.
It was good.
I'm still a little, horked off at the fact that they beat Boise State.
Yeah. Let's go to Rocky and Napa.
We were ahead by 21.
Rock.
Hey, Rocky.
Rocky. Rocky. Rocky.
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Are you there, dude?
Hey, Rock.
Yeah,
you're on.
All right, ready?
Yeah, I didn't quite hear you. Anyway,
all right, then.
I was wondering when Colin Kaepernick, who raised him?
The Kaepernick, he was adopted. So Mr. and Mrs. Kaepernick, basically.
Weren't they... European Americans?
Weren't they what?
European Americans.
You mean they're white people? Yeah, they are.
I'm insulted by using that.
Oh,
term.
I'm sorry. They were basically essentially Northern European extraction.
Right. So he's complaining about, and he was raised by evidently pretty quality folks. From what I understand.
Uh-huh.
And so he's complaining about this, and now it's morphed into a complete insult to the American flag and the country. So I don't understand that.
Well, he essentially is black, though, so he still, gets pulled over more than his parents do.
I don't believe that half that stuff. I've been pulled over as much as anybody else for no reason at all. What I consider
okay,
and I never got a ticket, but nevertheless, I know friends of mine that got pulled over too. When I was a kid, I got pulled over all the time because I was a hellion. So
right,
these guys get pulled over. How about driving decently?
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's
just say I've been in a car where it was absolutely ridiculous that these guys got pulled over.
Yeah.
Driving while black, that was the whole deal.
Well, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, it was. All right, man, I got to take a break.
The disadvantage we usually have is we were never there. So.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:47.
This is Idaho Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, that would be Loras College, L-O-R-A-S.
L-O-R-A-S. That's where your dad went?
Yep.
In Dubuque, Iowa?
Dubuque, Iowa, up on the bluff.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
we were just mentioning that because there's a Division III football player who... knelt and or kneeled, we haven't figured out which is correct yet, but during the national anthem and was dismissed from the team.
Albright College.
Albright College, okay.
A Division III player has been dismissed for kneeling during the national anthem before a game last weekend. It's in Reading, Pennsylvania, is that?
Well, and here's the deal. You know, and I, like I said, there are certain times when protest becomes civil disobedience or just simple disobedience. And if this individual was informed by his coach or his college that if you kneel during the anthem, you are off the team, then he went ahead, you know, he knelt during the anthem and is off the team. And like I said, there are people who are willing to go through that for a protest, and then there are others possibly who are not. But, you know, it's probably, let's put it this way, it probably was not a surprise.
An Albright spokeswoman said the team's leadership council, which consists of 24 players, that's what you're talking about here, voted to kneel during the coin toss and stand during the national anthem.
But he didn't stand.
His name was Durante. He then decided to kneel during the anthem on his own. The football team made a team-wide decision, and he broke that, so he was gone.
Yeah, because they wanted to do the whole thing as a team, and he didn't. That quite often can get you set apart. Mike R. of Boise says, since 2006, Roger Goodell has, one, been soft on domestic violence, two, downplayed head injuries that kill a good number of retired players, three, and now falls at Trump's knees in advocating for a violation of the Constitution. Roger is wrong if he thinks owners are going to invite open rebellion by mandating standing when the flag is waved or anthem is played. The players are 70% minorities. My question, why drop the anthem, or probably why not drop the anthem at all sports events? It might increase beer sales.
Well, like in college, the teams are in the locker room.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in the interesting thing is that the national anthem wasn't always a part of sports, and it was suggested at one point by the military to arouse patriotism in people and quite often make more people join the army. I mean, it kind of started from that, but it's become a tradition simply because it's been going on for so long. You know, in the book Ball Four, Michael Boughton, who is, you know, Jim Boughton's son, was 4 years old. Every time he heard the national anthem, he says, "Dad, they're playing that baseball song again."
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they that's what they think.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for today. We will be back tomorrow. Talk about those wildfires in California tomorrow. My God, heinous.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of them either. See you tomorrow.